health diseases. Hey.
All right, never mind. Out, 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 out. Get rid of it.
What happened?
I don't know. I don't know what happened. But it happens a lot. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the program here. We have with us this evening, I believe we have coming up with us this evening, Mavis Leonard. She is a educator, and we're going to talk about this concept of giving out condoms to grade schoolers. And that's going on right now in Massachusetts. It's a big story, but that's later on in the program. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Our email address, not email address, our internet address is philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Our email address, if you'd like it, is philhenryshow@talkradionetwork.com. Not that we ever checked that email account, but...
Well, you got to go to our Twitter and everything, too.
Yeah, Bud just mentioned Twitter. So you can go to Twitter, and we'll talk to you there. Twitter.com/PhilHenryShow or Twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Now, we have, I believe, as you'd like to hear him, yes, at the bottom of the hour, we do have Al Gore. The former vice president will be with us at the bottom of the hour to talk about an unbelievable accusation. Well, it's not unbelievable in light of the times we live in, right? But
well, it happened a lot.
Yeah, it happens a lot, but not to vice presidents.
I guess if Joe Biden, if he touches a lady.
Yeah, if Joe Biden does it, then I guess you can say it happens a lot. But right now, what we have is this Al Gore story. We're going to have the vice president, as you like to hear him, at the bottom of the hour. But first, I would like to familiarize you a tad with this story. And it goes something like this. I'd like to just whistle the song, and it goes a little something like this. Now, there was a time when they said that Al Gore, the vice president of the United States, was involved in what was to be a trip to Portland, Oregon. What is that, Bud?
So you're going to whistle a song.
Turn that off. A massage therapist accused former Vice President Al Gore of unwanted... If I say I'm going to whistle a song, it doesn't mean you got to play one.
Yeah, that wouldn't even start as a guy hitting a drum or something.
A massage therapist accused former Vice President Al Gore of unwanted sexual contact at a hotel in October of 2006, but no charges were filed because of lack of evidence, law officials said on Wednesday. No charges were filed because of lack of evidence, law officials said on Wednesday. Now, right now, I just want to, right now, there's someone, maybe a lot of people saying, yeah, well, he's the vice president, he had it quashed. A lawyer for the woman contacted the police in late 2006, according to the Multnomah County District Attorney, Michael D. Schrunk. Mr. Schrunk said the woman, who has not been identified, had refused to be interviewed and did not want the investigation to proceed. So, an attorney contacted the police. The police contacted the DA. The DA contacted the woman, and she doesn't want to talk about it. So the investigation didn't proceed. Then cut to January 2009, which is roughly 2 years later, because this previous event was in late 2006. She contacted the police. Now this is January 2009, a little over a year ago. She contacted the police and gave a statement in which she said Mr. Gore had tried to have sex with her during an appointment at the Hotel Lucia. Now the National Enquirer first reported the accusations on Wednesday. And as you know now, people do take the National Enquirer seriously. It's no longer, oh, the National Enquirer ain't going to go near that. Because the National Enquirer scooped everybody on the John Edwards thing.
That was the one. I thought it was like the World Weekly News or something. I told you about the World Weekly News.
World Weekly News, man. Those guys have Bat Boy, man.
Yeah, they know the kid, the Bat Cave. What are you talking about? They're the ones that had the kid, the Bat Boy, in a cave.
Do you remember the Bat Boy cover?
Yeah. It's one of my favorite issues. What's that got to do with it?
That ain't the magazine, the newspaper that did the John Edwards story. It was the National Enquirer. The World Weekly News isn't going to do John Edwards, man. They got Bat Boy.
Well, that story still, there's a lot to be told there.
Will you get out of here? There's a lot to be told.
Yeah, man.
All right, so anyway, so now what we have here is this lady said she contacted the police. She gave a statement in which she said Mr. Gore tried to have sex with her during this appointment at the Hotel Lucia. The National Enquirer reported it. In her witness statement, The 54-year-old woman told detectives, all of this is very significant, I think, that told detectives the Oscar-winning Nobel laureate attempted a big tongue kiss, caressed her back and buttocks and breasts, and shoved her hand down his pubic region. That's what she told detectives. According to her account, Gore said he wanted his adductor area worked on, and she considered that a warning sign. I was taught that a massage of the adductors could cause an involuntary erection, she told police. When I began doing the requested abdominal area, he became vocal with muffled moans, etc. He began demanding that I go lower and massaging on the abdominal area. I was shocked. He further insisted and acted angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. I went into much deeper shock as I realized it appeared he was demanding sexual favors. And then when I finally did climb on top of him, I was in deeper shock. I mean,
Did she say that?
No, I'm kidding around. She didn't.
Man, if she said that, then she's in trouble too.
She didn't, okay? I made it up. All right?
Yeah, well, I'm double checking. She didn't say that.
She didn't say it. No, so she said that she went into much deeper shock. She was in shock. She went into a deeper shock. And then I guess she really got into some deep shock. So the woman told police that Gore was, quote, bellowing, end quote, when she rejected his advances.
She bellowed because he rejected advance or bellow? Did she bellow?
I don't know if she bellowed. He bellowed. They were both bellowing like cows when finally she said, Al, this must stop. Police kicking in the door, thinking that steers were being illegally stunned.
Don't say that, do it.
No, I'm kidding, okay? God, what was it with you guys? Don't you have a copy of the story? Cops kicked in the door.
You said they were bellowing.
It says here that she said that Gore was bellowing. And when I think of when I'm thinking of bellowing, I'm thinking of a steer, some kind of a livestock. When I think of Al Gore, I think of steer. But then when I think of Rush Limbaugh, I think, well, no. Anyway, he then attempted to lure her into the bedroom where he threw himself on top of her. It was also alleged. He bellowed at me, just scared the bleep out of me, she said. You'll notice we can say erection, we can talk about adductors, we can talk about how he's bellowing, how he's moaning, how he's writhing, but we can't say bleep. He was moaning, groaning, and even the people that would fine me hundreds of thousands of dollars and ruin my career are agreeing with me right now and going, yeah, it's true. He was moaning, groaning, moving in a very suggestive way. He was wiggling his hips and began to do a hula dance for me as I sat there with one of them umbrella drinks, she said. No, bud, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
No, but she does say that he was moaning, groaning, and moving in a very suggestive way. When the session was over, the woman said she left the room to wash her hands, naturally. But as she was breaking down the massage table, Gore came over and caressed my back and buttocks and breasts. She said, I squirmed to try to get out of his grasp, telling him to stop. She told him he was a crazy sex poodle, to which he giggled. A spokeswoman for Mr. Gore, Kaylee Kreider, said she had no comment. Mr. Gore and his wife announced on June 1st they are separating. A police report prepared in 2007 said the alleged incident occurred at 2 p.m. on October the 24th, 2006. Mr. Gore was in Portland that day to deliver a speech on climate change. The woman, according to the report, canceled appointments with detectives on December the 21st and on the 26th. Her lawyer canceled a January 4th meeting and said the matter would be handled civilly. The woman refuses to cooperate with the investigation or even report a crime, this report from 2007 states. See? So now, in January 2009, the case is reopened. No explanation has yet been given as to why the case was reopened. Detectives interviewed the woman but determined that there was, quote, insufficient evidence to support the allegations, end quote. I did not immediately call the police as I feared being made into a public spectacle and my reputation being destroyed, she said. I was not sure what to tell them and was concerned my story would not be believed since there was no DNA evidence from a completed act of rape, end quote. Detective Mary Wheat, a Portland police spokeswoman, said the woman contacted detectives this month and asked for a copy of her statement. The woman, according to Detective Wheat, said she planned to take her case to the news media. Now, this was written by Associated Press, along with the National Enquirer and our producer, Jason Rantz. The story contains a number of very curious elements. She says she wants a copy of her statement to take it to the news media. This, according to a detective, Mary Wheat, of the Portland Police. Now, she is the public affairs individual, these police, public information officers, the PIO, the police call these folks, these officers that are dealing with the media. So she's the PIO there, and she says the woman wanted it because she's going to the news media. According to police in 2009, they would not reopen the case because there was insufficient evidence. Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that in 2009, even though it says here there's no explanation as to why it was reopened, I got to think that maybe this woman or her attorney came back to the cops and said, you want to know something? We'd like to go back and we'd like you now to reopen that investigation. So the cops did, and they found no evidence. So now the woman and her attorney are crap out of luck, right? So here it is a year later. What are they going to do? The cops won't reopen. There is no evidence. She's going to grab her statement. She's going to go to the news media. Now, what that doesn't explain, of course, is the initial report, which was in late 2006. And in late 2006, meaning December, she is there to report something that happened in October. Now, we understand this is a very common thing. Some women are nervous. They don't know what's going to happen. This is not anything that is difficult to understand. They sometimes take their time going to the cops. They don't know what – this is the Vice President of the United States. I mean, you know, if a lot of – people believe stuff like, you know, he could have me killed. He could have me, you know – I mean, there's a lot of people read a lot of comic books. So she might have been worried about that. So she goes to the cops in 06. And she refuses to be interviewed, and she doesn't want the investigation to proceed. When I say she, her lawyer. She doesn't want the investigation to proceed. See? She doesn't want to get into trouble. Now, 2 years later, she comes back and she says, yes, I do. But the cops say, we don't want to get involved in this. There's no... So, I will tell you something. You know as well as I do that you can put anything you want into a police report, just like you can put anything you want into a lawsuit. You know, someone can sue you and say that you're a pederast, that you are you're the worst scum of the earth, that you're a wanted Nazi war criminal, that you are. They can do that. They can put that into the complaint. One of the more unfortunate aspects to the reporting of civil lawsuits is that the media loves that stuff, so they report it, and when they report it, it takes on the currency of truth. Well, no, it isn't. It's just what somebody put into a lawsuit because they didn't like this guy. So the accusations, and, you know, I'm saying this. Believe me, folks, when I tell you, I'm saying this. It sounds like I'm being fair because I don't particularly like Al Gore. I voted for him for president. I voted for Bill Clinton twice. But I don't particularly like the vice president and the things he's done. But I have to, if I'm fair, I got to immediately, just like any good scientist using the empirical process, I have to go out and prove he's innocent. That's what I want to do. I want to look at every possible angle that he didn't do this. Because I don't want it said that there's a political prejudice involved. And if you are someone that doesn't like Al Gore, you know in your heart you want this to be true. I would suggest that you immediately look at every possible conceivable way that this isn't true. That's how you prove a theory. The first thing you do is you attack it.
Well, I mean, you don't really know, though.
What do you mean?
You're talking all about empirical, man. You're not a scientist or nothing like that.
I didn't say I was a scientist.
Yeah, but you're talking all big. You can't talk big if you don't, you know.
I ain't talking big.
What do you mean empirical?
Yeah, man. You got to have an empirical.
Oh, you know something? Just because you guys don't know how to pronounce the word, that's how you do stuff. That's how you do, you know, science stuff.
We ain't science stuff. This ain't no science. Well, sort of, because you're talking about having an erection. But
you shut up. It's none of your business. 877-876-PHIL, Osama bin Laden. Hunter Gary Faulkner says he's going back to Pakistan, plus the Taliban endorses General Petraeus. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Empirical.
Yeah, that's right, empirical.
Punk. Phil Hendry.
You're a punk.
Welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, as we're going to look into this Gary Faulkner story very briefly, and then we have Al Gore, as you like to hear him, in the next hour. I believe we do have Mavis Leonard to talk on very bizarre story about condoms to elementary school kids, whether you like it or not. That's the part that's... it's infuriating a lot of parents, and I can't blame them. Gary Faulkner, a man who hunted Osama bin Laden, says he will return to Pakistan soon. You remember this guy, Mr. Faulkner, the American who was detained in Pakistan while on a one-man mission to kill Osama bin Laden, is resting in Colorado today, but he told ABC News he plans to return to Pakistan and continue the hunt for the world's most wanted man. I mean, the cat is, he's something else. Here is Gary Faulkner in an interview with CNN. He says he doesn't care that people call him nuts. He went after Osama bin Laden because it was the right thing to do.
There's people out there talking smack. Oh, he's crazy or this or that. You know what? Those are the people sitting on their asses. They'll sit there and say, well, that quarterback should have done this or this guy should have done that. But you know what? They don't do nothing but talk. I got off my butt and I put my life on the line to go out there. I stood up for what I believed. And if nobody doesn't like that, I can care less. You could say I'm a religious freak. You could say I'm a Rambo or a samurai or whatever. But you know what? I'm a person that said, you know what? I'm going to get off my ass and do something.
All right, David G. Hall joining us, our vice president of syndications. David, I know you wanted to jump in here. You said you had an idea.
Well, I think the Phil Henry Show should take this opportunity and sponsor Mr. Faulkner's return to Pakistan, and I think we do have enough, obviously, we have it within our resource to do that, and I think that giving Mr. Faulkner that opportunity, I think it's going to win an awful lot of goodwill with your audience, and who knows?
Who knows, huh? Can we talk about this?
Absolutely. I mean, you knew I wanted to talk about this. I know it's controversial, but I would ask you, and I would ask your audience this, when it comes to ideas, and ideas that can help complete a mission, promote a radio show, inspire the American people, what better idea is there than the Phil Henry Show sponsoring Gary Faulkner's return to Pakistan? Gary Faulkner returns to Pakistan, sponsored by the Phil Henry Show.
First of all, I think people would consider it the cheapest and sleaziest of promotional stunts.
Hold on for just a minute. You know, why? You say that people would consider that...
Secondly, if you don't mind, secondly, what happens if he gets killed?
I beg your pardon?
What happens if he gets killed?
If he gets killed by who?
By the people that are protecting bin Laden.
If he gets killed by the people that are protecting bin Laden, then you will have sponsored a murder to American freedom.
David, that doesn't come down as...
Why is it when I come up, this is one of the greatest ideas promotionally I've ever had, and you've lifted your leg to it within seconds of me coming on the air and beginning to pitch like a dog, like a...
Can I say something?
Go ahead, ruin...
I'm saying to you that if this man goes over there with whatever, T-shirts and...
I didn't say T-shirts.
Well, then how will people know that Gary Faulkner returns to Pakistan sponsored by Phil Henry?
And let me tell you something else. You can laugh if you want, but when he's on TV or the first video comes back and he's got the muzzle of that M1 or whatever he's using, maybe one of them Austrian automatics, you know, that Steyr, and he's got that thing shoved underneath this guy's chin, and she says, "Hi, I'm Gary Faulkner for the Phil Henry Show, and I got bin Laden." You realize that you'll be doing interviews until the day you die.
No, Gary Faulkner will.
Gary Faulkner will, and you will, sponsored by Phil Henry.
And well, I'm telling you, if he dies, then all of a sudden a radio promotion, a radio stunt, you know, becomes a tragedy.
You know something, Phil, as I said, and your audience, they're witnesses to this. I came on with a great idea, and the first thing you did is lift a cheek up off of the seat, and you blew one into the...
Did he hang up?
Yeah.
877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Al Gore, as you like to hear him. Mavis Leonard still to come later tonight on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Lift a cheek off the seat.
Great attendance, kids.
Forget it. Phil Hendry.
I'm giving this to Rusty Humphries.
It's time now for As You Like to Hear Them, and this is a segment of our program where we interview one of the big newsmakers of the day, and it's usually someone really big here on As You Like to Hear Them, because the story that they're involved in, not only are they big, but the story's big. And joining us is Al Gore, former Vice President of the United States. He is, as they say, a Nobel laureate, a Nobel Prize winner. He is an Oscar winner with the film An Inconvenient Truth, and the Vice President is with us to talk about these allegations. Sexual misconduct, I guess, Mr. Vice President. Would you say that?
Well, no, I wouldn't, because I never engaged in any such thing.
Well, what, as you know, and as you like to hear them, we allow you to lie, and then on As You Like to Hear Them, it's impossible to lie forever. You have to tell the truth. So
I am telling the truth, and let me tell you what the truth is. Let me tell you what the truth is. I know what I'm doing here. This is As You Like to Hear Them, and I can't lie. And
yeah, but we do allow you to tell the initial lies that...
Don't get so high and mighty that you think I'm just a liar. I don't like being called a liar, and I'm not a liar, all right? Let me tell you what happened, if you don't mind. I know you have your version, and everybody else has their version. Do you mind if I tell you my version? Because I happen to have been there.
I'm sorry, sir.
Oh, that's all, yeah. You're sorry. But you're and everybody else. So do you mind if I tell my version? Because, hey, newsflash, I was there.
Go ahead, sir.
This woman, and I won't tell you her name because the Inquirer didn't release it, was a big fan of mine. I wanted a massage. That's all I wanted. I said, I want a massage. And
now, who did you say that to?
I said it to the guy at the hotel, the concierge.
All right, so you call the concierge.
No, I didn't call the concierge. I had a Secret Service guy calls the concierge, said, the Vice President wants a rub down. And that's what I said. I want a rub down, okay? I don't want aromatherapy. I don't want a Swiss facial or...
You mean a Swedish facial?
Well, okay. You mean there's no such thing as a Swiss facial?
I don't know, you know.
Even in a Swiss porn movie? I'm joking, but if you think about that...
All right, Mr. Vice President, see, you called up the concierge.
I called the concierge, and they come up, and they go, yeah, great, okay, we'll send, this woman up. So, here she comes, now. And tell them to shut that door, will you? I'm doing a radio interview, see? Eddie! So she comes up, knocks on the door, here she is. She's got one of them fold-out tables, right?
Right.
She says, Mr. Vice President, if you wouldn't mind, strip or something, take your pants off, and I've got a towel here. So I get underneath the towel. That's how they do it, right? So there I am. I'm laying underneath the towel. Now she says to me, I'm such a big fan. Now I'm thinking, here we go. She's a big fan, so I can't blow that off, you know what I mean?
Well, all right, now what does that mean, you can't blow that off?
Well, I mean, if she's a huge fan of mine, that's code for you know what.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you got to spit this out.
I'm spitting it out. You know as well as I do. When somebody's fawning all over you, you're the most fantastic thing, blah, 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 blah. So I started to test the theory, and I started talking, I told her, I said, you've got a pretty nice blank blank, and I said, you've got a great looking blank, and she said, thank you, ha ha, giggle. Nobody said to me, don't talk like that. Nobody said to me, you're offending me, Mr. Vice President, with the way you're talking about my, blankety blank. And I said, and would you look at the size of those, so I was very upfront, and I told her, right? Never did she ever say, oh, you're bumming me out, and I got to get out of the room, right? So then I said, I thought I'd take it to level B. I said, my adductors, which is the muscle thing that you were talking about, right?
Right.
So I said, would you work on that? And so That's what's going on, right? Now, I might have misread a little bit. But
well, that's what I'm talking about. What do you mean you might have misread a little bit? For instance, it says here that you grabbed certain parts of her body. Was she cool with that?
Yeah, it seemed like she was cool with it to me. You know, that's what it seemed like to me. And she called me a sex poodle. Now, that's not exactly what you call a guy that you're disgusted by and that you think just tried to rape you. That's what you call, that's like almost like an endearment, right? Would you say, Mr. Henry, would you say that? Are you listening to me or what are you doing? Are you looking at the TV or something?
I'm listening to you, yeah.
Well, wouldn't you say that that's, when you call a guy sex poodle, that that's an endearment?
I would say yes. That sounds very benign. It doesn't sound like it's coming from a woman who feels threatened. Or although she might be extremely nervous, she is with the Vice President of the United States.
Well, here's where it's not fair. In other words, what you're telling me is because I'm Vice President of the United States of America, okay, and someone tells me that they love me and they kiss me on the lips, I'm supposed to interpret that as meaning they are scared to death of me and they went back to their room and vomited from the fear.
What are you talking about?
Well, think about it, man. You think about it, okay? I said, wouldn't you think that sex poodle sounds, well, she might have been nervous, well, she might have been this, well, she might have been that. If it was you or any other man, a woman calls him a sex poodle, I think we are confident and safe in saying the woman is comfortable, at least, to some extent, in the man's company. But because I'm the vice president and I'm really powerful, if a woman calls me sex poodle, that's basically what she's saying is, it's almost like the fear that one would have before they're strapped into the electric chair. Because that's what you're telling me.
No, I'm not saying that. If that's what it's coming off sounding like, no, I'm not. I'm saying that there will be a certain level of nerves with a vice president of the United States calling you a sex poodle. She doesn't want to offend you. She doesn't want to say something insulting to you. You know.
Why not?
Because you're the vice president of the United States.
Okay. See, so what you're telling me is, what am I? Do I look like George Washington?
But no, you're not George Washington, but we're all raised in this country, the vice president, the president. We don't automatically just walk up to those guys. I mean, some people do.
How about that guy that insulted Cheney?
Well, you know, that guy that insulted Cheney, you mean in Colorado?
Yeah.
That piece of crap, he was trying to start a fight. He even put his hands on a VP. You don't do that, okay? You don't ever do that.
You don't, huh? Because I got a massage, so should I have her arrested?
You know what I'm talking about. I'm saying that most of us are raised with a healthy respect for the office, and so, wow, the vice president. And to go to the cops and say the vice president of the United States did this and that is very difficult.
All right, well, I don't think it's fair for you or members of the media then to say, Mr. Vice President, you should know, when what you're telling me is the following thing, that even when a woman is talking in a friendly way to me, and she's rubbing me down, and she's giggling, and she's, you know, she's got the you-know-what, swinging in my, you know, in my face.
All right. I get it, okay?
All right, what you're saying to me is, I got to take all of that and read into it the following thing. She's scared to death, and she it's like she's being led to the electric chair. That's what you want me to say. Ain't that what you want me to say?
I see your point, okay?
Oh, well, great day in the morning.
And you know, there's no need to be cynical. I see your point. It's tough to read, but when you're a vice president, you have to hold yourself to that much higher of a standard.
Well, you can take the vice presidency and you can stick it. But for all the good it did me, I wouldn't wish that job on my worst enemy. I wouldn't wish that job on Hitler. That's what I think of that job.
Why? Because you can't run around acting the way you want?
I'm telling you, it's unfair. You say that I got to behave at a different standard.
You're the vice president of the United States of America. Does that mean anything to you? Or is that something that it's got no meaning anymore?
You know, you got people believing that I'm guilty, and I didn't say I was guilty.
I didn't say that either.
Well, you're leading everybody into that conclusion, aren't you? You're saying, well, you know, she could have been nervous. I mean, even though she had her hand all over your you-know-what, she must have been nervous. She must have been scared. She must have gone back to her room and had diarrhea for hour after hour after hour with the fear that was just forcing chocolate milk out of her rear end. And
I didn't say any of that at all. What I did say was that as a vice president, there's a standard that I believe of behavior that is expected of you, yes. And I believe that as a vice president, there's a stand. Maybe it's more stringent than any other behavior there is. Maybe you have to act way better than most guys. Okay? And when I tell you that, and I say that you're the vice president of the United States, and, of course, the president is must adhere to this behavior, too, you get all pissy. And
what do you mean pissy?
You're getting all, I don't want to have to go now.
I don't think I said it like that.
Yes, you did say it like that. You go, you can take the vice president and stick it. I wouldn't wish it on Hitler. That's what you said.
I think it's a rotten, stinking job for all the disrespect you get from people. You're not even the president. They look at you like, oh, here I am. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, Bill, do you need your ass wiped today, or can I wait till tomorrow? I mean, what kind of a job is that?
Did you not run for that job?
Yes, I did, but I'm...
Then it's your job, man, okay?
Okay, man. Whatever you say, man. Hey, you know, I am the vice president, so I'd rather not be referred to as man.
Excuse me, sir. What I'm saying is you ran for that job.
I did run for that job, but I had no idea that being vice president of the United States was like... It was like... You know what? I can't be graphic because I know you have the FCC. It's like take a car battery and some wires off with your underwear, okay, every day. And, oh, and by the way, throw in a bucket of cold water. Oh, ha, ha. Boy, that's, yeah, that's great, huh?
Really?
Yeah, really.
A bucket of cold water, a car battery, some wires, and what else?
And no underwear. Yeah, you going to laugh?
Yeah. that's being vice president, huh?
Well, I'll tell you one thing right now, Phil. You don't have this problem. I have this problem. I got the National Enquirer. They're going to stick their nose up by you-know-what now for the next, I don't know. Whatever happened to John Edwards, you can triple it. They're going to triple the effort on me. That's number one. Number two, this woman is anonymous, okay? She can say anything she wants. You already made the statement that she can say anything she wants. Number four, do we have the benefit of a police report? No, we do not. I got the National Enquirer on my ass.
Well, that's, to me, something that's in your favor, because there is no police report, because the police said there was no evidence, because the woman withdrew her complaint, because her behavior is post this event is very strange. You didn't let me get into that.
I didn't let you get into that. Oh,
you didn't. You started complaining about being vice president. You don't want to be the vice president.
You know, I did not say, I don't want to be the president. I said... You can take the judge.
You can take it and stick it, and I wouldn't give it to Hitler. But I'm telling you that what's in your favor is this woman's very strange behavior, okay? The fact that what you're saying is she was a big fan and was flattered by your attentions, and then only later decided, hey, this looks like sexual assault.
I'm not saying she was looking to shake me down. I'm not saying any of that stuff. I'm saying she was flattered by my attention, and then 2 months later she goes, oh, wow. That guy sexually assaulted me. She didn't try to shake me down. Nobody asked me for any money. Nothing. She could have filed a civil suit, don't you think?
Would you have settled?
Probably not. No, I don't think so.
Even if it meant it would go away?
Oh, yeah. Go away? I got two words for you. Michael Jackson. Go away.
All right, Al. I mean, Mr. Vice President.
Yeah, thanks.
Al Gore, the former vice president of the United States there, very wide-ranging and I think illustrative interview on what happened between himself and this as-yet-unnamed masseuse in Portland in 2006. He says that it was a woman who was flattered by his advances, that there was no problem, and that only when it was reported to the police did he... suddenly, you know, find out that there was a problem. 877-876-PHIL, a county supervisor speaking out against Arizona, embarrasses herself big time. We'll play the audio. Also, check out philhenryshow.com for live streaming video and audio of the show right now. A big, big archive of our many generations of our radio show. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Vice President, I don't like that game at all.
That's what
you said.
Yeah,
you did. It's the Bill Hendry Show.
Get that one.
right, hold on. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. That's the number here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Also, go to our website, philhendryshow.com, for live streaming video and audio of the show right now. An extensive, a massive archive collection of our radio show going back many, many years, many generations of the Phil Hendry Show. On the 23rd of August, we celebrate our 20th birthday. 20th birthday doing the cutting-edge satire of our radio show, still admired universally. Now then,
I gotta get that federal supreme or supremacy. Let me see.
Federal supremacy, man. Let me just get into this first. County board delays vote on Arizona boycott. Supervisor claims Arizona does not share a border with Mexico. Dateline Milwaukee.
You gotta be kidding me, man.
Nope. No, this is true. See, you know, I remember at the beginning of the Gulf War many years ago, 20 years ago, 20 years ago this summer, 20 years ago in August, Desert Shield began. 20 years ago in August, troops began to pour into, I believe troops began to pour into the deserts of Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, or the desert of Saudi Arabia. Anyway, I remember thinking, these guys, do they even know where they're going, these young soldiers? Most of them, and most people, are lousy with maps. Most people don't know where America is on a map. I'm telling you the truth. Ask them to find a state, they can't find it. Ask them to find the country on a globe, they can't find it. Where's Russia? Where's America? Where's Antarctica? Where's the South Pole? Where's the North Pole? You think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding at all. Average adults in this country. Where's China? Can't find. Where's India? Is the blue, is that an ocean or is that, oh, that's an ocean. Oh, okay, well, at least we got that. Well, I know it's the ocean because it's blue. Good for you, Eddie. That's my baby. Now for the big one. You ready? Yeah. Where's the land? Is it this, like, mountainy stuff? Yeah. Yay. County board delays vote. The Milwaukee County Board spent part of the day debating a measure that would call for the county to boycott doing business with companies in Arizona. Communities around the nation have passed similar measures in response to a law in Arizona that makes it a state crime to be in the country illegally. There was an odd moment during the debate when Supervisor Peggy West stood up and seemed to be confused about her geography. During the debate, here is Supervisor Peggy West as she's confused about the geography.
If this was Texas, which is a state that is directly on the border with Mexico, and they were calling for a measure like this, saying that they had a major issue with, you know, with undocumented people flooding their borders, I would say I would have to look twice at this. But this is a state that is a ways removed from the border, and It doesn't make sense.
All right, here is West Supervisor Joe Rice, who spoke up soon after her remarks to correct her.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to assure my colleague that Arizona does, in fact, share a border with the country of Mexico. The city of Nogales has been a source of a great deal of illegal immigration. Arizona, along with other states, I think has a right to be concerned.
What does that mean, West Supervisor? What is that supposed to mean? Anyway, so that's a dumbass right there. And excuse me, but the voice, did you hear her? You know, here.
If this was Texas, which is the state that is direct.
So it's a real, there's a real cliche going on there. I don't know how old she is, and I dare, she could be like 60 for all I know. She could be 60 saying,
if this was Texas.
Well, then. All right, so she's an idiot. Anyway, her colleague Joe Rice quickly corrected her. While speaking at the meeting, West did go on to talk about National Guard troops on the border in Arizona. West points to that as she tells us that she simply misspoke. I did get a passing grade in geography in high school and in college, and I do obviously know that Arizona's on the border. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you don't. You know, when the word misspoke doesn't mean, oh, well, you know, I are really smart. No, you don't. Unless she was nervous and lost her place. You know what I'm saying? In other words, she was nervous and wasn't quite sure what it is she was trying to say. And she began to string some words together that didn't fit. That's happened to a lot of us who have been involved in public speaking. Yeah, sure. And, well, it probably has. I did get a passing grade in geography in high school, and in college I do obviously know that Arizona is on a border. No, well, that's, see, that's, no, you don't. I hate it when people think that we're idiots. Yeah, that's what bothers me. I just heard you say what you said, okay? Wes claims that the point she was trying to make, yeah, what was that, is that because Texas is a much larger border with Mexico, she might feel differently about such a state a law in that state. Had Texas come out with the legislation having the largest border, I think that I would be more receptive to the fact that there was a problem with having it in having it be Arizona, having it be the second largest border, and knowing there are troops on the border in Arizona. It didn't seem to me that this legislation was particularly necessary. I guess she doesn't read the news. She's just digging the hole deeper for herself. And do you realize,
if this was Texas,
they'd probably shoot you. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Mavis Leonard next. Remember,
if this was Texas,
Phil Hendry.